Today, we're continuing on our study in the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. Over the last couple of months, I've presented seven separate studies on this example of prayer that the Lord taught to His disciples. And we've considered a variety of things that Jesus recommended we should remember to pray about and remember to pray for as we bring our prayers and petitions before our Heavenly Father. That's what we've been doing over the last 2 or 3 months. This morning I want you please to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. The same scripture that we've now read about 9 times. We've read this scripture 9 times. And you know what? You probably know it off by heart by now, if you didn't before. You probably already knew this prayer off by heart anyway. But anyhow, it's the scripture that's relevant to our portion of or our message. So we're going to read it again one more time. Here we go. Matthew 6, 9 to 13 says, "After this manner therefore pray ye," Jesus speaking to his disciples, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Take notice of this. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to get something out of this, a benefit to us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this portion of scripture that we've read, Lord, many times now, and also heard about many times during our life, Lord, this portion of scripture referred to as the Lord's Prayer. We pray, Lord, that even as we've been familiar with this prayer probably all our lives, we do pray, Lord, today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would give us something fresh from it, Lord, that you would break the bread of your word, Lord, and distribute it severally to who you will, Lord, that we may partake of it and learn from it, Lord, and be filled with it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we looked at the first part of verse 13, where we were reminded to pray to the Lord and ask him to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's what we were talking about when all the wind started blowing and it was very difficult to get my message across. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I pointed out, would God lead us into temptation? When he tells us repeatedly, flee from these things. And we talked about that, you see. And some people think, oh, God leads us into temptation and to sin. Some people say that. God does not, my friends, and we looked at that in last week's message. And it's on the internet if you're interested to have a listen to it. If you didn't get all the message, the banging was a bit distracting, it's on the internet. I took all the banging out and just put the message up there. But anyhow, if you want to find out, God doesn't lead us into temptation. And we worked out, what does that mean? What does that prayer mean, that part of the prayer mean? But this morning we're looking at thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This closing of the Lord's Prayer is what's called a doxology. A doxology is an expression of praise giving a glory and honour to God, either in word or in a short hymn sung as part of a Christian worship service. You might have noticed that these final words of the prayer are nothing about what the Lord our God can do for us. Did you notice that? For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's nothing to do with us. The doxology is nothing to do with us at all, actually. Nothing about us. Unlike verses 11, 12 and the beginning of verse 13, there is no request, no petition, nothing about asking God to please do this or please do that on our behalf. It's all about God, our Heavenly Father. And just as we were taught in the very beginning of the prayer, to humbly acknowledge the Lord and His greatness, the end of the prayer also reminds us of our need to praise Him and acknowledge His dominion and power and His glory. The word doxology is derived from two Greek words, doxa and logia. The Greek word doxa means glory and honour. The Greek word logia means word or speech. If you take a look inside the front cover of your hymn book, take your hymn book please, not your Bible. Take your hymn book. Look inside the front cover. You will find the first hymn, which is entitled, Praise God Through Whom All Blessings Flow. Just under the title you will see the word doxology. You see that? It's a doxology. This hymn is a doxology. The words of this short hymn express our acknowledgement to God that He only, and only He, is worthy of all honour, worship and praise. Not just from mortal creatures like us here on planet Earth, but also from all the spiritual creatures that exist in the heavenly realms and throughout the entire creation. Let's read the words of this hymn book, in the hymn book, that express our confession that all praise belongs to God. Let's read it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. The doxology, or ending of the Lord's Prayer, contains four important truths that the Lord Jesus wants us to know and understand. The four truths that He states are very clearly are contained in the words, For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. It's all about God. And that doxology that we've just read out of the hymn book, there's nothing about us. Did you notice that? Nothing in there about, bless me Lord, or whatever. Nothing. It's all about God. You notice that, eh? That's a doxology. Anyhow, we're going to see four truths that are stated very clearly in the words at the end of the Lord's Prayer, For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. The first truth stated about God is expressed in the words, Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. That is, the reign and dominion over the kingdom belong to God and not to man or any other creature. The Lord God has exclusive control over whether He grants our petitions or otherwise. Only God has control over all these things that we have petitioned Him with. And only God, that we petitioned Him with in the Lord's Prayer, right? And only God can sovereignly move things in such a way so as, if He desires, to answer the petitions that we've made to Him. The second truth stated about God is expressed in the word, Thine is the power. Only God has power to accomplish what we ask. We have no power in or of ourselves to bring our request to fruition. We are weak and we are unable ourselves to bring to pass the fulfillment of our requests. But God is the Almighty, and with Him all things are possible. Amen? God reminded His faithful prophet in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 27 and verse 5. I'll just read it. You can turn to it if you want to, but I'm going to keep going on. God reminded His faithful prophet in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 27 and verse 5, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm. God saying, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. God is reminding Jeremiah, by my great power I created everything. I created everything, Jeremiah, and by my great power I raise up kingdoms and tear them down, and I distribute my gifts and blessings to whosoever I please. But isn't it wonderful that the God of all grace, also said in Psalm 115 and verse 16, the heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men. Praise the Lord. He's given that to us. Only God has power to give anything at all of what belongs to Him to the children of men. All things belong to God, my friends. We need to get that in our heads. All right? And only God has power to give anything at all of what belongs to Him, to the children of men. What's yours? What is yours? But what God gave you. You came here with nothing, and you will leave with nothing. The third truth stated about God is expressed in the words, Thine is the glory. That is, the honour and praise belong to God. The honour and praise do not belong to man, not any man, but to God. And it is God's glory and God's goodness that will be displayed and recognized in His providing for our wants. It will be His power that is manifest in defending His children. And it will be to His praise and glory that His kingdom will spread throughout the earth. His kingdom will spread throughout the earth by His power. This doxology or acknowledgement of praise is connected with the rest of the Lord's Prayer in verse 13 by the word for. The word for signifies that all these things, the kingdom, reign, the power and the glory of God, will be manifested by God's granting our petitions. In reality, it is not primarily because we are to be benefited by answered prayer, but that God's name and His power and glory will be revealed or displayed. That's what it's about. We ask God to hear our prayers and answer them, but not for us, for His glory. God brought two pastors here so far. We had nothing really to do with it. We just had to check them out. God bought them. We're praying for another pastor. We have no power in and of ourselves to get a pastor that is suitable for our church. If we go out in our own power, let me warn you, we could end up with somebody that we wish didn't come. Amen? We'd have to try and get rid of the bloke. We're better off letting God do it. Amen? Let's not get all worked up and excited and think we've got to do something about this. We need a pastor. Yes, we do need to do something. We need to petition God. And we need to walk with God in a worthy way that He will hear our prayer and answer it. We've got to do our part. That's all we've got to do. We can't go out and drum up a pastor. If we try that, look out. I can tell you now. So, His glory and the honour of His name and the promotion of His kingdom should be the chief and the foremost of the things we seek to promote and uphold when we approach Him with our petitions. It's His kingdom, His power and His glory that we should seek to make known when declaring any forthcoming answers to any of the prayers and requests that we petition Him about. The fourth truth stated about God is expressed in the word forever. Unlike the kingdoms of men down through the ages, which are here for a time and then come to an end, usually through an invading army or some other man, a man who wants to set up another kingdom, with him ruling over it as king, of course, unlike those kingdoms, God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. The book of Daniel speaks of this coming kingdom in chapter 7 and verse 19. This prophecy in the book of Daniel assures us that God's dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and His kingdom is that which will not be destroyed. It won't pass away, and it won't be destroyed. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 145. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Psalm 145, verses 10 to 13, we read, and we can be comforted and encouraged by this, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Sounds just like the end of the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it? Pretty similar. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever. The Lord's Prayer, like the doxology we've just read in our hymn book, concludes with the word Amen. Amen announces God's truth and faithfulness. It is the seal of prayer. It is the voice of faith. The word implies a confident resting of the soul in God, with the fullest assurance that all our worship and all the petitions we've made according to His will shall be heard. They will be heard and the petitions will be fulfilled in God's time and in God's manner to everyone who prays according to His will. Is that right? Amen. When we say amen, that's what we're saying. We're saying that it implies a confident resting of the soul in God, with the fullest assurance that all our worship and all our petitions we've made according to His will shall be heard. they will be heard and the petitions will be fulfilled in God's time, in God's time, and in God's manner to everyone who prays according to His will. Now, I don't know why we haven't got a pastor yet. We've been 15 months without a pastor. I don't want to be the pastor. Never did. God knows that. Andy doesn't. Lachlan doesn't either. So we're without a pastor, and God knows that. Well, we have to trust God. We have to trust God. What is God doing? What is God doing with us? That's what we've got to work out. What is God requiring of us to do? Well, I know one thing He likes. He likes faithfulness. Amen. Remain faithful to God and remain faithful to Coastline Baptist Church, right? And let God move when He's ready. We can't do anything else. We could shut the doors and all go home. We could do that. We just got to make sure we do our bit and God will do His, even if we don't understand Him. Anyhow, we've been instructed in Matthew 6, verse 10 to pray in this manner. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's God's will that we are praying to be done, not our will. Is that clear? That's right, eh? We know that. All right. Turn with me, please, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 to 15 assures us that God does hear us if we pray according to His will. 1 John 5, 13 to 15 says, These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. That's God said that. I didn't make that up. God knows what we need here, and we have the petitions that we've made of Him if we pray in His will. Therefore, we can say, Amen. Amen. All right? So, in the 1828 edition of the Webster's Dictionary, it describes the word Amen in this way. As a verb, it signifies to confirm, establish, verify, to trust, or give confidence. Right? That's a verb. It signifies to confirm something, to establish, to verify, to trust, or give confidence. As a noun, it signifies truth, firmness, trust, confidence, stability, and constancy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 we read, For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Everything that God has declared in the Scriptures about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is true, and we can have the confidence and trust in what is written and promised. Therefore, we can say amen. As an adjective, the word amen signifies something that is firm or stable. The word is used generally at the end of declarations and prayers in the sense that we are saying, be it firm, be it established. In Psalm 106 and verse 48, we read the words, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. In other words, let all the people agree that the thing should be established. Blessed be the Lord of Israel. The Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say Amen. So we're saying, yes, we agree with that. Let that be established. Now perhaps somebody might be asking, why should it be necessary for the Lord to include this doxology at the end of the Lord's Prayer? Perhaps some people would even think that we mere humans, as mere humans, we who God created along with everything else in the entire universe, maybe they would think that we shouldn't have to be reminded that God's kingdom and His power and His glory actually belong to Him and not to any puny little human such as we are. Why should it be necessary for the Lord Jesus to have to add a proviso or a disclaimer at the end of the Lord's Prayer to remind us that the kingdom we have been encouraged to pray for in verse 10 of Matthew 6 is actually God's kingdom and not a man's kingdom? Why would God need to remind us that? Why would we need to be instructed and reminded after all the particular items we are encouraged to pray about in our daily devotions to God, that any answers that might be forthcoming will be accomplished by God's power and God's power alone? And why would we also have to be reminded that any glory that might be directed by anyone to anyone or anything is also God's? Why do we need to be reminded of those things? Unfortunately, Jesus, who we are told in Acts 1:24 and also in John 2:24, knows the hearts of all men. He knew well out of time whether sinful human beings would need reminding of these important truths. Jesus knew it would be necessary, and therefore, speaking about the God who art in heaven, he taught his disciples to remember to pray, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever." And then, as though nothing else needed to be said on the matter, Jesus said, "Amen." Which in this case meant, let all the people agree that the thing is true and that has been established by God in heaven. So those of you who have been following my series on the Lord's Prayer might remember that lesson number 3 covered where Jesus told his disciples in verse 10 of Matthew 6 to pray, "Thy kingdom come." In that particular message, I pointed out that in this present day of increasing apostasy in the professing churches, there are a number of movements throughout the world which hold to the belief that Christ's instruction to us to pray, "Thy kingdom come," will be fulfilled, and it is actually taking place at this very present time, without the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now, we've talked about that. We've talked about that in other messages. They're on the internet if you want to listen to them again. Or if you're interested, you're a visitor and you want to hear what we said about that. John's prayer of "Even so come, Lord Jesus," is being fulfilled even now, so they say, in a mystical way. Some people are saying that. The teachers of the Pentecostal latter rain kingdom now, manifest sons of God heresies, all promote to one degree or another the error that Christ ruling with a rod of iron and smiting of the nations with a sword will be performed, not by Christ personally, when he returns and establishes his millennial kingdom following the Great Tribulation, but that it is happening now, in our present day, by Christ, who is supposed to be incarnate in his body, the church. We are the body of Christ, aren't we? Christ is the head, you see. It's called replacement theology. They say that the church has replaced Israel. The Pentecostals and Charismatics are all into that. Big time. I spent years in there. I know what they teach. And it's not hard to establish that that's what they believe. A lot of them are promoting that Jesus is establishing his kingdom here now, but not with him personally present. He's incarnate in us, his church. It's very dangerous false teaching, my friends. The church is the church, and the nation of Israel is Israel. When the fullness of the Gentiles have all come in, we will be raptured to heaven, and God will deal with Israel. And we need to get clear. And he will set up his kingdom when we come back after the tribulation. That's how it works as far as we're concerned. That's what we believe. But the Pentecostals don't believe that. They believe that the kingdom is being set up now. So we need to be careful of Pentecostals, you see. These denominations and other religious groups say that they have received kingdom authority, literally from the throne of God, to perform this very great and important task. The very popular song "Majesty," which was written by Pentecostal pastor Jack Hayford, and which has been enthusiastically sung in most liberal churches throughout the world since the mid-1980s, teaches the false doctrine that it is the role of the church to establish God's righteous kingdom on planet Earth without the Lord being actually present. You all know the song "Majesty"? Most people do. If you haven't heard it, you should have, because they sing it in independent Baptist churches. "Majesty." It's a kingdom now song. Although they will swear black and blue that it is God's kingdom that they are in the process of establishing on his behalf, nevertheless, we who spend time studying and who take our Bible seriously understand that it is a man-centered kingdom that they are attempting to bring about. And eventually there will be a man who will have power and dominion over that kingdom, just bestowed upon him by someone who the Bible tells us in Revelation 13:11 has two horns like a lamb. Has two horns like a lamb, but he speaks as a dragon. In other words, not a wolf, but a dragon in sheep's clothing, who we know is the false prophet of the one world religious system, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots based in Rome. And that man who receives the kingdom will be the Antichrist. That's all coming to pass. It's happening. It's coming across the paddock swiftly, my friends. Increasingly, Jack Hayford's song Majesty is sung in apostatizing independent Baptist churches, whose pastors and leaders have been seduced and enticed, enviously lusting for the numerical success of the Pentecostal and charismatic churches, and who, in an unbiblical attempt to be culturally relevant, now use contemporary Christian rock music in their services as worship to God, as well as other worldly enticements, such as sporting heroes, rock idols, to attract mainly young people to their services. You know that's going on? That's going on. Independent Baptist churches are using that stuff today for the same reason the Pentecostals do, to attract people. Lost people who come to the service for rock music, they'll want that next week too, my friend. The Roman Catholic Church has been attempting to establish their version of the kingdom for the last 1700 years. And item 460 of their catechism teaches their numerous faithful followers the heresy, this is what's in the catechism, the Son of God became man that we might become God. Number 460, if you want to go home and check your Roman Catholic catechism, item 460 says, the Son of God became man that we might become God. And the only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature, so that he made men might make men gods. This dream of a man assuming the role of gods and establishing their own utopian kingdom is actually well on the way to becoming a reality in our day. But as I've just pointed out, it is a kingdom that will be headed up by the Antichrist and assisted by the apostate One World Church of Revelation chapter 17. Now, I always ask these independent Baptist pastors and people who are getting into ecumenical fellowship with the Pentecostals and Charismatics, using their music and attending their conferences to gain some insight into the numerical success strategies, I ask them, haven't you seen how these Pentecostal and Charismatic churches are all being drawn into unity with the Roman Church? Have you been watching? Haven't you noticed, I ask them, all the big-name Pentecostals who have been visiting the Pope in these recent times, promoting that the Reformation was a big mistake, and that we all need to just get back together, love each other, forget about our doctrinal differences, and concentrate on evangelising the world? Strangely, they haven't noticed that, even though it's been done in public view. Everything's happening out in the public view. They haven't noticed that. Now, I'm going to name some names here. On repeat occasions, as far back as 2011, the very influential American pastor Paul Chappell has sent leaders from his Lancaster Baptist Church to visit Rick Warren's Saddleback mega church. Did you know that? Paul Chappell has sent men from his church down to Rick Warren's Saddleback mega church. Following his lead, his Australian friend and staunch supporter, Robert Bax from Lighthouse Baptist Church in Rockhampton, has made repeat visits to Brian Houston's Hillsong Church in Sydney, the bastion of Pentecostalism in Australia, but not just in Australia, but in the world. Now, I know about Hillsong. I come out of that stuff. And I see all these independent Baptist pastors heading back that way. The people from Lighthouse and Rockhampton attended the wildly heretical Hillsong annual conference over a couple of days, not to hand out tracts and challenge Hillsong Pentecostal heresies, but to sit under their teaching, buy their literature, and get a few tips on how to grow a huge church. In 2008, now you wonder why they want to be involved with these people, but listen, in 2008, Hillsong performed for Pope Benedict at the Roman Catholic World Youth Day, which was held in Sydney. Darlene Scheck, Hillsong's lead singer at the time, stated that. This is what Darlene Scheck from Hillsong said when she got involved. Hillsong got involved with the Roman Catholic Church on World Youth Day. We see World Youth Day as a great opportunity to serve the Catholic Church in its vision to present the gospel and reach out to our city, our nation, and our world in unity. That's what Darlene Scheck said. Wonderful to get involved with the Pope and reach out with the gospel and save the people in Sydney. Is there something wrong with that? Thanks, Andy. Glad you agree with me. In Jeremiah 10:2, God warned the house of Israel, and he warns the church today, learn not the way of the heathen. Learn not the way of the heathen. Unfortunately, for those who are so caught up in the deception and who are vigorously working to build and enforce this kingdom, they haven't read their Bibles enough to know that God destroys their temporal kingdom in order to set up his own. God's going to destroy that kingdom that all these people are cuddling up to and leading undiscerning young people to get into Hillsong music and Hillsong teaching. I came out of that stuff. It's demonic. God got me out of it. And I warn you, don't get involved with it. Do not go sucking up to the Pentecostals. They have an agenda. I think, oh, I'm going to witness to them. No, no, no. They'll witness to you. They'll witness to you and they'll convince you that you're stupid and they're right. You only got to look at our church and look at theirs. They'll convince you something's wrong here. And they've got the success, they've got the Holy Spirit, and we haven't. God says, do not learn the way of the heathen. They haven't seen that God destroys that kingdom. He destroys that kingdom. All right? There's only room for one kingdom, you see, on planet Earth, and it's going to be God's. In closing this morning, in chapter 17, 18 and 19 of the book of Revelation, we read about all of this. And if you are truly born again Christian, you will be in heaven with the multitude rejoicing when that man-made kingdom is destroyed. I'm not sure that we will actually see it. I don't know that we can see from heaven back to earth. Some people teach you can. But I don't believe that. I believe we'll know about it though. We'll know about it because it says we will. We'll be with the multitude rejoicing that the man-made kingdom is destroyed. Let's see what John said about this soon coming event in the book of Revelation, chapter 19 and verses 1 to 3. So if you open your Bibles, please, to Revelation. If you see independent Baptist churches today who are sucking up to Pentecostals and getting involved with mainly their music and their ideas, be warned, my friends. Be warned. Do not be deceived. There's an agenda. There's an agenda, and it's heading towards what's called the One World Church of Revelation, and it will be destroyed by God, and we don't want to be a part of it. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Not go in amongst them and make friends with them. And if people think I'm talking nonsense, I've got photos with independent, big name independent Baptist pastors here in Australia hugging up to Brian Houston and Rick Warren. I've got photos, which they posted on the internet for all to see. So it hasn't been done in a corner. These things are happening out in the open. And when you point them out, they get angry with you. You shouldn't talk like that, pulling that man of God down. I saw his photo on the internet. He put it there himself. Anyhow, Revelation 19, verses 1 to 3 says, after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Listen now, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Who's the people in heaven during the tribulation? We'll be there. That's us. After these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honour and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah! And her smoke rose up for ever and ever. You see, that church, that organisation, which the Pentecostals belong to, and all going back to Rome now, right, and taking independent Baptist churches with it, it gets destroyed. It gets destroyed. the smoke comes up forever and ever. It gets destroyed while we're in heaven for the great supper of the Lamb. So that's what's going to be happening down here while we're up there, you see. And we don't want to be down here. We need to be up there. So don't get tricked. Don't get tricked. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Sometimes you will agree, man can get a bit carried away with his ridiculous imaginations about his place of importance in the universe. Sometimes, I hope you'll agree with me, we get carried away with our own importance, right, and our place in the universe. And from time to time, it becomes necessary for the Lord our God to have to remind us of a few important things. A couple of those important things have been included in the closing words of the Lord's Prayer, where the Lord Jesus reminds us and reassures us in verse 13 about God, his Father and ours, "For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen." That's why he's put it at the end of the Lord's Prayer, to remind us so we don't get caught up in this thing, man's kingdom. There's another scripture where we see a great rock smashes the 10 toes into fine dust and it blows away in the breeze. This kingdom comes from heaven and it smashes the 10-toe kingdom that's been set up, man's kingdom, which will be headed up by the Pope, right, from Rome. Right, and it gets smashed into fine dust and a puff of breeze comes along and blows it away. And that rock is set up forever. That's God's kingdom that will prevail over all other kingdoms. And it will be by his power alone that this happens. And it will be God and God only who gets the glory. And when all that takes place and God's kingdom is truly established, it will be forever. It will be for all eternity. And if all the people agree that this thing should be established, then along with the Lord Jesus Christ, we too can say, Amen. Amen? Do you agree with that? Let God's kingdom prevail. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Let's close in prayer. Now, if you're here today and you're an unsaved person, and I know everyone in this church today has been in church many, 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 many times. I didn't preach the gospel today. I preached about a kingdom, a couple of kingdoms, man's kingdom and God's kingdom. We talked about that. I have not given an altar call. This message is particularly for us Christians to have our eyes open to what's going on around the world, all right? And the snare that is being set for us. Don't get snared. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this word that we've been able to look at this morning, Lord. We thank you for the closing of the Lord's Prayer. And the reminder, Lord, that we need to know, Lord, that it's your kingdom. It's God's kingdom. And God's kingdom will be forever. And we thank you, Lord, for your word that teaches us truth, Lord. We get imagining all sorts of things if we didn't have your word, Lord. But we thank you that you gave us the Bible, the scriptures, Lord, your word that leads us and guides us into truth. And we thank you, Lord, that we've been able to see today the truth about the kingdom that you're bringing, Lord, and that will be set up forever and ever. And Lord, we do pray that each one of us here would be part of that kingdom, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.